Thank you. Morning, everyone. Thank you. I think I'll stop there, so I've just got a 10 from Brian. I don't know what it'll be by the end of it, but I'll hang on to that 10, I think. Okay, so those of you who were at Cafe Church last Sunday, you'll remember that we were looking at a verse from Matthew. It was Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So we were discussing that in the groups last week. Towards the end of the questions that we were discussing, which we didn't actually get to in my group, apologies, there were some questions that started to explore how we might organise our lives if we're trying to seek the kingdom of God above all else. And so this morning, that's what I want to take a look at. And we're going to look at three aspects of our lives in relation to this. We're going to look at time, the good old hot potato of money, I've sandwiched it in the middle, and relationships. So we'll start to think about time, first of all, prioritising time. So I'm going to ask you a few questions as we go through, and they're not questions for you to put your hand up and tell me, okay? But I'd ask you to answer these questions honestly between yourself and God, okay? So the first question, which is about time. When time is in short supply, what gets discarded first? What gets crossed off your schedule when you're really pushed for time? So just answer that to yourself and to God. There was a survey recently carried out by the charity shops, which revealed that there's been a 24% decrease in the number of volunteers in charity shops in the last 3 years. So this is 2019 to 2022. Now, before COVID, the numbers of volunteers were increasing year on year. And this volunteering hasn't picked up again since COVID. So there's an aspect of people are feeling pushed for time or have got out of the habit of volunteering and haven't gone back to doing it, which I thought was quite interesting. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17 says this. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So when we get busy, our priorities can easily get out of kilter with God's priorities. So maybe we have got really busy, we've had a really busy week at work or with the family and we're tired, so we might stop going to midweek meetings. We might think, oh, creative sounds really good, oh, but yeah, I'm quite tired tonight, I'm not going to go. Or we might not go to the prayer meeting, to Big Burn, or we might stop going to life group or not go regularly. Maybe we don't go to church every Sunday. Maybe again, we're busy, we're tired. I'm not talking about people who work on a Sunday. That's completely different. But when we don't work on a Sunday, sometimes it might be, I'll go to church if I've got nothing else on, or if I'm not too tired. If I get up in time, I'll go to church. Or it might be, I haven't done the shopping yet. I haven't finished cleaning the house. And so church Sunday morning might get pushed out. Maybe our quiet times get shorter. So we think, right, I do know that I need to pray, I need to read my Bible, but I don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to do a shorter time and then I can get on with my day, or I'll squeeze it in at the end of the day, or maybe then it doesn't happen. Maybe our quiet times get less frequent. Maybe they even disappear altogether. But Ephesians 5, verse 15 clearly warns us to be careful how we live. We need to consider whether we're investing our time in eternal treasure or in earthly treasure. Hebrews 10:25, which is often quoted by preachers, I think, so I'm going to do it. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his Jesus's return is drawing near. So we're being encouraged in this scripture to meet together regularly to encourage one another in light of the fact that Jesus will return one day. Now, we're told in the Bible that we won't know when that's going to be. It is going to be a surprise. But we need to remain watchful. In the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, which I'm not going to read, but you can find it in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The bridesmaids are waiting for the bridegroom, and the bridegroom represents Jesus. And there are five wise bridesmaids and five foolish ones. And they've got lamps with them, oil lamps. And the wise bridesmaids have got spare oil with them so that they can keep their lamps burning, so they can keep their lights on. Now, they're waiting for the bridegroom, and it gets late, and they all fall asleep. So it's not that the wise bridesmaids stay awake. All of the bridesmaids fall asleep. But when the bridegroom arrives and they're like, ah, no, they wake up and they're like, quick, light your lamp. The foolish bridesmaids don't have any spare oil with them. So they can't relight their lamps. But the wise bridesmaids have got spare oil because they were prepared. And so they can keep their lamps burning and they were able to go and meet with the bridegroom. But by the time the foolish bridesmaids had got some oil, it was too late. They had missed the opportunity. Now, the reason that the five foolish bridesmaids didn't have enough oil isn't because there wasn't oil available. It's just because they hadn't bothered to get any. They hadn't prioritised it. They were inactive. They were just like, oh, I've got some oil. That's okay. That's fine. But they hadn't prepared in advance for what might happen. So they had, what we need to try to do is to be careful to avoid inactivity with our time. And as well as being watchful and active, we need to be faithful to what Jesus has given us to do. Immediately after the parable of the 10 bridesmaids in Matthew, so we're still in chapter 25, but in verses 14 to 30, we find the parable of the 3 servants, where each servant is given an amount of money to invest, to look after for the master. 2 of the servants invested the money, but the 3rd servant dug a hole in the ground and hid it. So they just put the money there. They didn't work with it. They didn't invest it. They didn't try to make more money. That servant just dug a hole in the ground. So we need to be careful to avoid being passive. Because the servant who received the 1 bag of silver, he just hid the money. He didn't actively do anything with it. And my question from this is there something that God has called you to do which you're not doing? So is there something that God's called you to do, which you know God's called you to do, but you're not doing it? Maybe you've stopped doing it. Maybe you used to do it. Are you being inactive or passive? Or are you being active? Are you being watchful for what God wants you to do? Are you being active in your calling and using your time the way that God is calling you to use it? Maybe we could consider, because we are all busy. I'm busy. I often say I'm busy. I'm busy, I'm tired. You'll often hear coming out of my mouth. And maybe we need to consider doing an honest audit of our time and how we use our time. Could we be more efficient with our time? I like to think that I'm fairly time efficient. So I would hopefully only go to the supermarket once a week rather than going every day, because it's quicker to do it once a week than to go every day. You tend to save money as well, because I'd just buy more if I go every day. How do we spend our leisure time? What do we do? How long do we spend watching TV, going on social media, or whatever else you do in your free time? And there's nothing wrong with having free time. You know, we need time to relax. We need time to chill out. But when we say we're too busy to do the things that God's called us to do, I'm too busy to go to life group. I'm too busy to walk into that calling that God's got for me. Maybe we need to look at what we're doing with our spare time that we don't recognise as spare time. I'm fairly sad, and I colour code my diary It's very sad. In my phone, so I use an electronic diary in my phone, and I colour code it according to work. So work is blue, church stuff is green, family stuff is purple, exercise, which is not that big, is orange, boring stuff, chores, well, no, I don't put my chores in, appointments and things, is yellow. And actually, it's quite useful because you can look at a week and go, wow, there's a lot of blue in that week, which is work. Or where's the green? Where's my time, spending my time with my Christian brothers and sisters that week? Where's that gone? That's disappeared. You don't have to colour code your diary. But for me, it helps me to see, am I getting a balance across each week, across the months, across the year? Or are things starting to slip? Are some things taking over? So there have been times, because I'm self-employed, so I have a little bit of freedom, if you like, in terms of how much work I do. I obviously need to do enough to earn enough money, but I do have a freedom in it. And a little while ago, I noticed that it was solid blue from early in the morning, so, well, early for me, about 8-ish, and I was getting home 6:30 in the evening, and I was really tired, and I was really tired then, and it was a struggle to get to meetings and to do the other stuff that God wanted me to do. So I made a deliberate choice, having looked and gone, gosh, that is not, surely that's not God, what God's asking me to do. So I prayed about it, and I have reduced my work quite considerably, and I still have enough money to live on. I'm not rich, but I have enough money to live on, and that's fine because I have more free time. I have more space. Again, a question. How much time do you think you spent on your phone yesterday? So have a think. Again, don't answer me. Answer in your head. How much time do you think you spent on your phone? Get your phones out, which normally we're like, do not get your phone out in church. Go on, get your phones out. You don't have to tell me the answer to this, but I will look at faces. If you go into your settings on your phone and either find screen time or it's called digital well-being in mine, you can see how much time you spent on your phone yesterday or today. Oh, I spent 2 minutes today. That's quite impressive. And you can see, not just certainly on mine, you don't just see how long you spent on your phone, but you can see which apps you used and how long you were in them. Well done. Impressive. If you look at those figures and you're shocked or like, ooh, didn't realise it was that long, or you look and go, gosh, did I really spend that long on Facebook? Maybe that is a challenge to you when you think, I'm too busy, I don't have enough time. Maybe freeing up some phone time could help you to have more time in your day. You can actually set goals and timers and stuff for different apps and things, apparently. But yeah, what I was really surprised at was on mine, it says how many times you've unlocked your phone. So I hadn't been on my phone for that long when I did this the other day. But then I'd like unlocked it about 50 times in the day. I'm like, what were you doing that for? It was just like, have a quick look. Oh, nothing happening. So that was quite, I was quite shocked at that. Yeah. So, time. Okay, let's move on to the thorny subject of money. Okay, so how should we pursue the kingdom of God with our money? So, next question. When you're feeling the squeeze financially, which I think a lot of us are at the moment, where do you cut your spending first? Okay, so when you're feeling the squeeze, some of you might have already cut back already. Where did you cut back? Where do we cut our spending when we're really feeling the squeeze financially? It might be because of a change in work, a change in income. It could be a change in outgoings.
I think people don't know that they have to put their phones away now.
Oh, okay. Phones away, please. Thank you, Sir Bailey. So where do we cut back our spending when money is tight? Again, another bit of research that was done this year in June from Enthuse found that in the current cost of living crisis that we're living in at the moment, 55% of the public stated that their financial situation was making it harder to donate to charities. So is that where we, is that where we stop giving first? Do we stop those extras that you might consider? It's not food, it's not fuel, it's not rent or mortgage. Is it those extra giving to charities, giving to church, giving to others who are in need? In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, we read this. Remember this, a farmer who only plants a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, this isn't a begging request. I didn't know that the QR code was going to be out today. I'm not saying this because we're broke as a church and I want you to give us more money. That's not where I'm coming from. And in fact, in this scripture that I've just read, it says, don't give in response to pressure. So I'm not pressuring you to give more money to the church. I would caveat this with saying, if the Holy Spirit is pressuring you to give more money or to move your money, give your money to different places, then maybe you should listen and respond to that. But not to me. That's not where I'm coming from. This is a question of putting God first in everything, in our time, our relationships, and our money. What does God want us to do with our money? He gives it to us in the first place. What does he want us to do with it? 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Just going to read that last bit again, because that really struck me when I was looking at this. Some people craving money, so people who are craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I think that's really, it made me really sad to read that, that in the pursuit of money, people had, you know, in this context, and it will still be the same today, people walk away from God because their pursuit is money, their faith is in money, their trust is in money, but then have pierced themselves with many sorrows, so it doesn't make them happy. It brings that real sorrow. This scripture isn't saying that money in and of itself is evil. That's not what it's saying. It's the love of money, so the pursuit of money alone. Faith in God should be our priority, not accumulating lots of money. It's our attitude to money and what we do with it that can become problematic, not the fact that if we are blessed enough to be comfortable and be financially well off, that's not a bad thing. If that's what God's blessed us with, it's what we do with it. It's how generous we are with our money. Where do we invest our money? Where do we put our money? We're called to be good stewards of what God's given us, including money. And we can do practical things to try and make our money go further. I know it's quite tricky at the moment. Usually, I'm a bit of a rate tart. So I will change gas and electricity companies quite frequently to get a lower price. I will change insurance companies when that comes up for renewal. All sorts of stuff. We changed our phone tariffs recently and saved a lot of money. It's trickier with the gas and electricity at the moment because of the current situation. But there are other things that you can do, and there are really brilliant websites. It makes it so easy to compare insurance or mobile phone tariffs and that sort of thing, to literally save yourself some money. And I do shift our money, any savings that we've got, shift it around to get higher interest rates, just to be a good steward, just to try and have more so that we can give more away, so that we can be more comfortable. So again, a challenge, maybe have a review of your regular outgoings. Are you paying for anything that you're not using? Have a look at your bank statements. I know some people's bank statements remain unopened in the envelope or in the inbox and are never looked at. Have a look at your bank statements. Is there anything on there that you think, what is that? What am I paying for that I'm not even using? Are you using all the mobile phone data that you're paying for? Or could you be on a cheaper tariff? Are you watching, do you watch all the TV channels that you subscribe to? If you do, great. But if you don't, why are you paying for them? It just doesn't make sense. So there are things that we can do to help ourselves financially. But it's that the sense of we're grateful for what God gives to us. We need to be good stewards with it. And if God asks us to give to something, then try and be faithful in that and do that. I would always encourage you to talk to God about Holy Spirit about tithing, giving to God first. But that's between you and God. We've spoken about it before. But if you haven't had that conversation with God, or not recently, then have that conversation again. Am I giving to the right places? Is this where you want me to put my money? Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus." We can't outgive God. When we give him our time or our finances, he always makes sure that we have enough time or money for what we need for his priorities. So are we investing our money in eternal or earthly treasure? Okay, finally, we're going to have a quick think about relationships and how we can seek the kingdom of God through them. And because you're probably sick of the sound of my voice by now, I'm going to borrow Otto. You can listen to his voice for a bit. Otto's going to read 1 Romans 12 from verse 4, which I think might be on the next page, actually, Otto. Verse 4, which is there, to verse 18. I'll tell you when to stop.
"Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. Well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gifts... your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in the confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Give in harmony, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud and to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone.
Super, thank you. Well done, Otto. He hadn't had time to practice that. I didn't tell him what the scripture was. So well done, that was brilliant, thank you. I do really love this passage, and I think a lot of it is very, very clear. I'm just going to pull out a few highlights from it. So verse 5 encourages us that we're all important. Okay, we're all needed in the body of Christ. And verses 6 to 8 encourages us that we all have different gifts. So we're all important. We all have different gifts. We're not all the same, and we don't need to be all the same. But we do need to play our part. Otherwise, something will be missing from the body. So if God has given you a part to play in the body of Gateway and you're not doing it, then that part is missing. Somebody else can't do that part because you have been called to do it and God's given you the gifts to do it. So that means we need each other. We need you, each and every person who is in this room and who is watching on YouTube. I love verse 13. I think it's brilliant and it's very clear, so this will not need explaining. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Let's come alongside one another in times of celebration and sorrow. If we're encouraged to weep with one another, that means that we need to be vulnerable with one another. And it means that we don't have to pretend that everything's good if it isn't. We need to be honest and real with each other and give room for others to be real with us. So if we want others to be there for us when we need help, we need to reciprocate that and be prepared to do that for others as well. So there are two sides to our kingdom relationships, us looking out for other people and us seeking help from other people when we are struggling. We need to develop relationships with people that we trust, running partners, people in our life groups, and we need to admit when things aren't going that great, and it's okay to do that. Just have a think again. Who do you run to first when you have a problem or a crisis happens? Who's the first person that you would go to in that situation? And now think, will that person support you in a kingdom way, pray with you, encourage you to stand on God's word, encourage you to stay part of the body? Or are they more likely to lead you away from God and to seek comfort in other ways? Maybe you don't run towards someone at all when you need help. Maybe you run away from everyone. Isolation is a tactic that I have seen the enemy use so many times over many years. To pick people off who are having a difficult time, and it makes me so cross with the enemy because he does it time and time and time again, whispering in people's ears that they're not good enough, they won't be accepted if they share what's going on, that they're not important, nobody will notice me if I'm not there, nobody cares about me, people have got bigger priorities than me. The list goes on. The reason that he keeps using this tactic is because it works. If we isolate ourselves from one another, stop meeting together, don't share what's going on with us, or won't allow trusted people to speak into our lives, before we know it, we haven't been to church or life group for 6 months. It's just drifted. We've just got out of the habit. Soon we may find that we've stopped reading our Bible regularly. We're not actually praying that much, not listening to worship music anymore. It's a gradual but very, very real danger that if we become separated from the family of God, we could find ourselves slipping away from the most important relationship in our life, which is that of God himself. And that all started because we didn't ask for help when we needed it, or we didn't ask for help in the right place when we needed it. Or maybe we decided that we were too busy for life group, or creatives, or Big Burn, or Sunday meetings, or even too busy to go out for a coffee with a Christian friend. So let me just encourage you to evaluate your life in these three areas: time, money, and relationships. We're just going to put up on the screen a couple of questions from last week and another one that I've added. They'll all be new for people who are in my group because we didn't get that far. We're just going to spend a few minutes in quiet with some background music that Mauricio has kindly organised. Just spend some time, you and God, honestly answering these questions. So we've looked at them already this morning. So if life gets too busy or too expensive, what are the first few things to be crossed out of my schedule or budget? Are my money and time invested in things with eternal or earthly results? And am I seeking support from people who will guide me towards the kingdom or away from it? So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and into our hearts. Lord, help us to have an honest conversation with you, Lord. Father, where there are things in our lives that we need to change, Lord, I thank you that you don't condemn us, Lord, but that you gently guide us to the right way. So, Father, help us, Lord, if there are changes that we need to make in our lives, help us to commit to those this morning and then to action them this week. Amen.